Yeah.
Okay.
No one
okay.
else has ever been allowed to rewind, but you can rewind. Because that's your power.
That's my power. I use it all the time.
All right, this game's a real life, right? Is that how this works?
Yeah. Right. That's actually her.
Wow.
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 220, and it's a very special one.
Yeah, Hannah Tell is on the episode.
Hannah Tell!
Yeah, she was a total ridiculous, awesome guest to have on, and so genuine and so funny, and you guys probably know her name from Don't Nod's Life is Strange, one of my favorite time-traveling episodic adventures from the past couple
of
years.
We have already spoken with her. We have gone back in time now.
Yes,
we have.
To discuss it.
We actually just finished up the interview a few minutes ago, and it's one of my favorite ones that we've done in quite some time.
Yeah,
and I'm not just saying that.
She's, like you said, really genuine, just a sweetheart. Yeah. It was really fun talking to her, so you will hear that shortly.
Yeah, I mean, I think my problem with these interviews is after I'm done talking to these people that I really enjoy, I like really want to be their friend. And
like you just want to go to the mall, like hang out with them for a little while.
Yeah, I just want to go to the mall. And get like an Orange Julius and maybe go to Lids. And
Lids? Do they still have Orange Julius at the mall?
Yeah, there's one. There's an Orange Julius.
Or it's like an Orange Julius with the DQ, right? Like a combo?
No, I think isn't there one in, what is that, in Altamont, right?
Yeah,
there's an Orange Julius. Oh, wow.
Just hanging out, like next to a Starbucks or something.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know if there are still Lids, though. That was one.
No, I think there are Lids.
Oh, there's still Lids, for sure.
Still Lids? Oh, okay.
Yeah, where's that one guy who wears that baseball hat backwards going to work if he doesn't work at Lids?
It's right next to the Spencer Gifts, right?
Do you think he just walks in and like shrugs at the manager and they're like, all right, get behind the counter.
But in all seriousness, you guys are really going to enjoy this little interview. It was a ton of fun. If you're a fan of Life is Strange, which we are, you'll kind of enjoy seeing or hearing, rather, where Max gets a little bit of her personality, because I think there's a little bit of Hannah in Max. So I think, I think you're going to enjoy hearing that.
And we talk about other things too, not just the game.
We do.
Yeah.
She's
a
musician. It's fun.
Yeah.
Time travel.
A veritable cornucopia of categories and topics.
It is.
Exactly.
Hey, Matt, who brought us this episode this week?
I'll tell you. This February, pack your crossbow and load up on chimichangas. Get exclusive items from Walking Dead and Deadpool, of course. I'm so excited for that movie, including a t-shirt and two figures. This year, Loot Crate is promising a new custom shirt in every crate, as well as collectible pins each and every month. Everybody get looty. Go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code ratedNA, and you'll get 10% off your order, whether that be a month or 3 month. I think you can get 6 month and 12 month packages, whatever you feel like doing. And I actually was going to say, I also think Loot Crate's a great gift. If you're looking for something for Valentine's Day or something like that, pretty awesome little thing.
I think they just announced a Firefly themed crate.
Did they?
Yeah.
Fantastical.
I don't know.
They literally have everything for everyone at this point. There's loot pets. There's loot gaming.
Yep.
And pins, crazy. Too. Man. Hashtag pin pins. Game.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtags. Go check it out. Lootcrate.com/ratedNA and get yourself some cool stuff in the mail. You guys want to talk to Hannah Tell?
Let's
Absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Everybody, we're here with special guest Hannah Tell, who plays Max in Don't Nod's Life is Strange, available now on every platform known to man. Hannah, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yay!
This is super cool. Yay. So I'm gonna geek out for a minute here. I picked up Life is Strange not knowing what to expect at all. It was just kind of one of those downloadable titles, and I was like, oh, what is this going to be about? And Scott's actually a huge Don't Nod fan, and I'm a fan, but I'm not like a massive Don't Nod fan. So I just picked it up to kind of try it out and see what it was all about, and ended up absolutely falling in love with the title. To the point where we had Ashley Birch on the show a couple times, and I just absolutely love the aesthetic of this game, and I love everything about it. So we are incredibly stoked to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you like it.
You must be like at this point, the game has been so well received. You must just be having so many people saying nice things to you all the time.
You know what? There are a lot of people that say such nice things to me, and it's amazing. It never gets old because it's so funny. Like, oh, I'm usually having a bad day, somehow someone will, I'll see something that someone said on social media, and it really makes the biggest difference. It's like, oh wow, this is I'm having a good day now. You know, it's cool.
It's really cool. It is really cool. I mean, especially since a lot of times social media can be used for evil purposes. Mm. So, you know, seeing people cosplay as a character that you portrayed, and you know, getting those nice messages, and I see them too. I'll look on the internet and see people, you know, tweeting at you and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that's,
if you follow the Don't Not account, retweets a lot of the cosplay too. And last Saturday actually was the 1 year anniversary of the release of the first episode of Life is Strange. So it's already been 1 year. Isn't that wild?
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is insane. Well, that's really exciting. So we like to, and we have guests on for the first time, and hopefully you come back for more, but when we have guests on for the first time, we like to go way back to the beginning of their story and kind of learn a little bit about them. And it's fun. And since the game revolves around time travel, we're going to pretend that we're time traveling.
We will rewind time.
And we're going to rewind time to young Hannah. So how did you...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I want to go all the way back to... Did you grow up in Florida?
No, I was born in Florida.
Oh, you were born in Florida. Okay.
Yeah, I lived there for maybe like 3 years. Okay. And then we moved to North Carolina to my mom's hometown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I grew up down the street from where my mom grew up. So my whole family lived on the same street. It was really cool.
Oh my goodness.
They all still live on the same street.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
We asked the question because all of us are actually from Florida.
We are, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and two of us are from your hometown.
Yes. Whoa.
Small world, right? Isn't it crazy? Yeah.
As we were, quote-unquote, researching, which is cyber-stalking our guests.
No.
That's cool.
We found that out. And we were like, oh, that's just really cool. I wonder if she has any crazy Florida stories. But you got out early, so it's sort of like I was born in New York and then moved down to Florida when I was 3. So you don't remember much. I don't remember much of New York. So
I don't. But my grandparents lived there for most of my childhood in Pensacola. So we would go, we would travel down there. And I the coolest thing about it to me was that there were armadillos everywhere.
Isn't that weird?
I was like, this is great. But
yeah, I remember being a kid and going out with my dog, and we'd like pretend armadillo hunt because there were so many. We'd like run around in the yard and just chase them around.
They're such cool animals.
They are really cool animals. We never caught one. They're too fast.
They're wily.
They are wily. So where are you now? So are you still on the East Coast or are you on the West Coast?
No, I'm in LA now. I moved out here when I was 18 and went to school at USC for a few years, like 3 years, and then I dropped out, which I'm not proud of. But
it's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
Things happen.
What are you going to do?
I've done that a few times. It's all right.
And then I've been here ever since. I spend a couple months out of the year back in North Carolina with my family because I have a younger brother. He's like 15. So
oh, cool.
I want to be a part of his life, even though I left home when he was like 3. So it's I love LA. It's crazy.
I bet. Yeah,
for sure.
The opposite of where I'm from, but it's a really amazing city.
Yeah, that's really cool that you're out there now. I had no idea. When did you decide, or when did you figure out that you wanted to become a performer? Because you do a lot of different stuff, which we'll get into later. I mean, you're a musician as well. So at what age did you figure out that you had this talent?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. My mom tells me that I really liked to sing and dance and stuff as a kid, like on coffee tables, which I find really hard to believe because from like kindergarten on, I felt really awkward and introverted and uncomfortable. So I guess when I was like up to age 4, I was very outgoing and extroverted. But then I went to kindergarten and school crushed my spirit.
Oh,
and,
you are truly among friends.
Yeah, that happens to the best of us.
Yeah. School destroyed me, which is why I eventually dropped out. But I did a play when I was 7, and I just had like a little part. But my mom, like, you know, gave me some ideas about how to make the little role that I had funny. And so I did what she said, and you know, apparently she was a pretty good director, because what she had me do was like really ridiculously funny, and I guess people thought I was funny. So I heard people laughing, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And so then I just wanted to do it more and more, and I kind of became obsessed with it, doing plays. And it was, I would get depressed if I didn't have a part to play, and it was, my parents had to drive me all over North Carolina to like do a play here or a play there, just anything I could do to get like that fix. It was like pretty quickly an addiction. But yeah, it stayed with me. I don't always love doing it. Now that I'm a little bit older and I've started working on camera, I sometimes really struggle and battle with acting, but it's like a bad relationship. I just keep coming back. It's never gonna stop. So
it's challenging to be in front of a camera. I recently had to do it for work. I had to do some on camera stuff, and it's absolutely terrifying, especially since, you know, most of the time I'm, you know, behind the microphone doing other stuff, but having a camera in your face is just so strange and foreign. Mm-hmm. And you do, as a performer, you have to be insanely brave to do it. So that's cool that you're getting out there and doing that now.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to do. I'm trying.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the right place for it. How did you? How did the voice acting thing start? So, how did you find your way into Murdered Soul Suspect?
Oh gosh, you know, it was crazy. It was just I'd always thought, you know, voiceover would be amazing, like to do a cartoon or something. But I never like actually knew how to even go about getting into that world. So there's this acting website called Actors Access, and everybody out here that's, you know, trying to quote unquote make it, which is, you know, kind of a myth, but they all use this website for to submit themselves for parts that have been posted online. So Murdered Soul Suspect was on there under a fake name. They were looking for the role of the twins, Iris and Rose Campbell. I guess that they couldn't find what they were looking for on the, you know, bigger breakdown service, which is just sent out to like agents and managers. So they kind of went down a level to Actors Access, and then I submitted, and I went into a read for the roles. And I love playing parts of people that are, you know, struggling with mental issues or, mm-hmm. you know, anything like that, I'm really drawn to. So these sisters are pretty intense and dramatic, and
yeah.
That's probably like one of my favorite parts ever, playing these two girls. So yeah, I got the part, and I didn't know what it was going to be like to do like performance capture, but it was incredible, and it kind of opened my eyes to this new side of acting where there's still a camera, but instead of me having to be freaking out over, you know, looking the right way or not moving my face too much or moving my face not enough, you know, I was just able to become immersed in this pretend world, and it was amazing just to be able to use your imagination and not be so chained down by, you know, this visual physical thing that you can't even control hardly.
Did they do any mocap for Murdered Soul Suspect, or was it just the voice that made it into the game, or how did that all come together?
Oh yeah, the whole thing was like, it was facial capture, motion capture, and voice. It was total performance capture.
Oh, awesome. That's really cool. I played through that whole game. I thought the whole idea behind the narrative was really fascinating. So that was really,
yeah.
It's really cool to learn that you were a part of that. So that's awesome.
It was really cool for me to be a part of that game. It was awesome.
Is that sort of your first exposure to like the video game world and its community? Yeah.
Yes. That was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. I didn't even know about that stuff existed, to be honest, you know?
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you ended up with in Life is Strange and with the folks at Don't Nod? Because their studio is really, you know, interesting. Prior to that, they released a game called Remember Me, which again was very narrative heavy and had like strong female protagonists and everything. So how did you get involved with Life is Strange?
Well, the same company that cast me in Murdered Soul Suspect, they would bring me back in every now and then to audition for other games. And
oh, cool.
So I went in, auditioned for like one or two other games, didn't get them. And then out of nowhere, you know, like almost a year later, they called and they said, hey, we'll come and read for this this part of Max. So I go in to read, and it was awesome. You know, they were looking for somebody that was soft spoken and like shy and like really backwards almost socially. So I was like, oh, good. I was like struggling at that time, and I didn't think I did a good job on the audition, and I was crying on the way home. And,
oh, no.
Yeah, that's like a typical actor thing, like, you know, crying, screaming in the car on the way home, for me. But yeah, so that the same company, it's a company called Blind Light, and they, you know, provide, I think they're like a production company kind of for video games. I don't know. I wish I knew more of like the technical terms for everything. But
no, I mean, what you're saying is just, it's a really cool story because, you know, we've had a bunch of voice actors on the show before. And I mean, honestly, I think your portrayal, Max, is one of the best performances I've heard in a long time. You just capture that, like you said, I think a little bit of your own personality is kind of flowing into that character because that vulnerability that Max has really shows, like, and you can tell that she's like this kind of soft-spoken, sensitive character, you know, kind of introverted, like you're saying. And I think it's cool that you are, you know, revealing that to us here. That's kind of what you're like, because it really does. It shows in the character of Max. And I think, you know, she's just such a different sort of character to play as. I mean, you know, as gamers, the three guys here, we've played, you know, every space marine on the planet and like ninjas and assassins, but playing this vulnerable, you know, teenage time traveling girl was just such a weird and cool experience for us, you know?
Oh, thank you. That's so good to hear. Oh, that's awesome.
It definitely hits those notes, like in the vein of watching a show like Freaks and Geeks or My So-Called Life or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, those, I love those shows. Yeah. Thank you so much.
That's kind of what drew me to the game, that I think someone, you know, explained it to me as like, oh, it's kind of like, you know, My So-Called Life, you know, meets like Twin Peaks or Alan Wake or something set in the Pacific Northwest, you know, that kind of thing. So
I actually had said this to the guys at Don't Nod when we talked to them at a conference a while back, but this is remains the only game that my wife, who's not a gamer at all, picked up. She saw me play the first chapter, was like, or the first episode, was watching me play it, and then was like, hey, can I make an account and start playing? And I said, yeah, sure. So I made her like an Xbox account, and then she's further ahead in the game than I am. Like, she's almost beaten it at this point, and she loves it. She absolutely loves the characters. It's one of those things where this just connected with her on a level that I think it's hard. Like Ash said, you know, so many games are of a certain vein and are very action heavy or whatever it might be. This was a really amazing experience for her, and your character was one of the ones that brought her into it. She really loved that feeling. She connected to it like on a different level than I think a lot of other things. So,
oh, that's so cool. I'm glad that she likes it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing, I didn't actually think I was going to talk about this, but why not? So I was a teacher for a long time, and I dealt with a lot of high school students, and when the game came out, there was some criticism that, you know, the game wasn't a realistic portrayal of like what it's like to be a teenager. And I instantly came to the game's defense and I was like, that's bullshit because kids are that mean to each other and there is that much drama. And like, granted, I'm an adult now and I'm far removed from it, but I really feel like, you know, when Max is running around the campus and there's all these like, you know, intricate, you know, plots going on with all the different cliques. And I'm like, that's exactly what it's like, you know,
you're right.
Schools. Yeah.
And even with characters that can be, you know, labeled as sort of like archetypal roles, like that's how it is. For me, that's how it was. There were people that totally fulfilled those, you know, stereotypical staples of the high school world. It was just like that.
Right. So let's talk for a minute. We've had a big fan of Ashley Birch. I think she's hilarious. And I think
she's awesome.
She's good people. So did you guys, I think when we talked to her, she said you didn't get to record together. But what was your interaction with Ashley like in the making of Life is Strange?
Oh, we recorded together a bunch.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah,
like, talked to her early in the process.
Yeah, like after the first or second episode, I think, is when we spoke with her. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, we recorded together for a lot of the scenes that are a little bit more narrative heavy, I guess you could say. Okay. Like, we did most of those together, and it was that way with a lot of the main characters. I did a lot of dual recordings with like Kate Marsh and David Madsen and Mr. Jefferson, Nathan Prescott, all of those roles. Mm-hmm. We did dual recordings with, and it was awesome to work with Ashley. It was so cool because she's so amazing at playing Chloe. You know, like she's so good at that, like boisterous and overly confident and just like borderline reckless. Sounding voice. I know it just really comes across so well in her voice. So it was amazing for me to get to work with her, and she knows what she's doing. You know, I really didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. It was a really cool experience for me.
Yeah, she's definitely one of those people that when we have her on, she kind of always inspires us to want to create more shit because she's always she's always working on like 20 things, and you're like, oh, that Ashley Birch, Ashley Birch is so creative and talented and busy. I'm like, damn, I need to be more like that Ashley Birch.
I know what you mean, man. She's something. She's got a lot of stuff going all the time. That's really cool.
It is really cool. Absolutely. So this is a silly question that I thought of, and this is going to be a hard one. So
I'm
going to give you a minute to answer this one.
Okay.
All right, here we go. So if you had the ability to travel back in time by looking at old photographs, where would you go and what would you do?
Oh, man. But it's a loaded question. Because what are the consequences?
I know, right?
Absolutely.
It is. This could be an entire episode of this podcast. We could just all sit around and talk about this. But
I don't know.
It's a really hard question.
I don't know if I would, you know, because it's just like, what would I even do? I mean, would I change something to make it better, but it might end up making it worse?
Right.
You know, in my luck, it'll be worse. So what's the point? but no, I mean, I guess I would, I don't know. Part of me wants to say that I would go back to some really poignant moment in my childhood, but I think it would just make me depressed. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would like to see my grandparents and my family all together again. But then I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. That's sad. That's really sad.
Maybe the decision to not use that ability is a good answer, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I would do it. Because then once I started, I wouldn't stop because I've done so many stupid things that I would want to fix. It would never be over.
Yeah, I think I would be the same way. I'd keep trying to fix things and make them worse.
Yes,
be like the
yes.
ultimate butterfly. I'd eventually erase myself from existence.
It's like a giant sinkhole sucking the entire world in because like, of reversing time. And I'm like, oh, no, just one more time. And
yeah, that's a dangerous power. And that was one of the cool things about the game was seeing how Max was, how her powers were evolving, you know, and how they got more dangerous as time went on. I just thought it was really fascinating. Like every time I picked it up and there was a new chapter, I was like, oh, what's she going to be able to do now? You know, it was just neat how Don't Nod would toy with the mechanics of time travel and really make you think. I just thought it was super well done. So
yeah, it's really intricate. And I love how detail oriented everything was with this game. It's awesome.
Sure.
So I think one of the things that I personally really liked about the game is with the pacing of the narrative, they did a really good job of creating these quiet moments in the game where you're not necessarily trying to, you know, accomplish something or find something that you're looking for, but you can just kind of sit and talk and listen and think. And early on in the first episode, there is an opportunity to go into Max's room and put on the CD player, and it plays Crosses by Jose Gonzalez. And you know, anytime you hear a Jose Gonzalez song in any game, you kind of get all emotional and everything. But not only that, but now Max so can true. Then go over to the, you know, to her couch and pick up a guitar and start playing along. Which I, you know, at that point I was totally hooked on the game. And I know you play a little guitar. Did they let you record Max's guitar parts in the game?
No.
No, because we've seen you. I mean, I've seen you play in the videos. You're very good. I thought for sure, like, you could.
Oh, thank you. No, I didn't do any kind of like music for the game or anything. Mm. I have a very complicated relationship with the guitar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
It's a really hard instrument. I don't know. I feel like. I'm frustrated with it right now because I'm trying to get better. That's what, yeah. I wish I did, but no. But yeah, the music in the game was one of the coolest things for me about this game. I'm such a huge fan of this style of music, and
yes.
I never would have dreamed that I would work on a project that had a soundtrack with PJ Harvey on one of the songs, and it's just it's just nuts. It's so cool. Nuts. Yeah, it's probably, if I could have gone back in time and told myself in high school, hey, one day you're going to do a game and there's going to be the coolest people ever on the soundtrack. I would go back in time and tell myself that so that I wouldn't feel like such a loser for the majority of my young adulthood.
Yeah, I mean, you put out a video covering one of the songs from the game, right? Did you not?
Yeah. It covered Obstacles, Sid Matter's song. It's such a pretty song. I love this.
Yeah, it was really good. That's awesome.
Thanks.
And then you just recently put out your own music video, right? Was it an original tune that you posted to YouTube?
Yeah, I love writing songs, and I'm finishing up a full length album, and so I made a music video with some friends to, I guess promote the album, which is such a crazy concept to me. But yeah, it was an original song, and I don't know. I'm making a couple more videos, and then I'm gonna try to release the album, I guess. Or
that's so cool. That's really awesome.
That is really cool.
Thank you.
Now, okay, so. In one of your videos, I see there's a harp in the background. Do you play the harp?
I studied some harp in college. I took maybe 4 or 5 harp classes. I just love the instrument.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And you're telling us that the guitar is a complicated instrument. And like this harp, that's completely intimidating. I just looking at it, I'm intimidated.
Well, you would think that it would... It is a very difficult instrument to play, but the difference between the harp and the guitar is that you can play the harp without having much experience, and it's such a beautiful instrument that it'll still sound good. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do anything on the harp that's going to sound like, harsh or rough sounding, but on the guitar, if you don't have like really strong fingers, the strings are going to be buzzing, they're going to be sounding bad. Mm-hmm. They're different instruments, but yeah, the harp. I'm not very good at the harp, but I just something I like to do sometimes.
That's cool. When you have friends over, do you signal your own dream sequences on the harp?
No, but I'm gonna start now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's amazing. Guys, let's go back to a certain time and then just like a glissando. Yeah. Is that what that's called?
There's an actual technical name for that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, wow. I think that's what it is. So. Yeah.
Matt, that's impressive.
Yeah, thanks. All the musical terms.
Matt right? Busting out his harp
deep in the history.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Good times.
So are you playing out with this stuff yet, or are you still writing and just kind of recording right now?
Yeah, well, I haven't told anybody about it because I'm so freaking scared.
Don't be.
Yeah, oh my god, I can't believe I'm about to tell you. Okay, so I'm playing a show March 1st.
Awesome.
At the Hotel Cafe in LA. It's my first time playing my music with a band. With
that's great.
Musicians.
How cool.
Whew, so yeah, I'm right
nervous,
now,
but it'll be great. You'll have a lot of fun.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just trying to, that's why I'm practicing guitar like crazy, because I gotta be ready.
Ash always hates that we bring this up all the time, but Scott and I both were in a band.
What kind of music?
It was like heavier rock, indie rock stuff. Would we get called all the time, Scott? Post-punk or post-hardcore or something?
Or post-DC something or other?
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
The word post was involved and it was rock, I guess.
Anytime the word post is involved, I'm on board.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What was the name of the band?
It was called History.
easy to Google.
Yeah, super. Just Google history, you know, and then yeah. you can put music on there. Maybe no,
no.
We're up on like SoundCloud and all that stuff if you want to hear it. But it's what I was gonna say is that I used to get terrible stage fright, like horribly, really, really bad. I don't think a lot of people knew this because it didn't seem like it. Once I got on stage, I was usually fine, but it was beforehand. And I think Scott knew, Melissa, my wife knew too, who toured with us. But I would, if I waited a long time, like if there was a long break between when I had to load in and then before we played, I would just become more and more of a wreck as time went on.
Oh, no.
So the advice I was going to give is just kind of keep, I found later on is if I kept myself occupied, then I usually was okay. And then like by the time you get near the stage, it all becomes adrenaline. And when you have a band, it's so great. Like it just feels like everything's clicking and it's wonderful. You're going to love it. So
oh, I can't wait. It's my dream.
We would also rotate people, you know, by each show who was in the center of the stage, you know?
Yeah, that helped too.
So
yeah.
Sometimes we'd put we'd put Matt on the side, and then Matt had more of a view of the rest of the band, and then I would stand in the center, or his wife would stand in the center. So it kind of like takes some of that pressure off of just standing like right there in the middle of the stage, and you can't really see anybody behind you, you know?
Oh, so that's such a good idea.
You know, like if you can set it up in a way where it's like maybe you're on one side, and then you can kind of look at your bandmates, and everybody's like doing it together, like because if you get nervous, just play for your bandmates, you know.
And then,
yeah.
So have you played just solo? Have you gotten up and done your own stuff with you and a guitar? Or
yeah. A couple years ago, I used to play around LA kind of a lot, like in little bars and coffee shops and bookstores.
Oh.
Yeah, just by myself, just with an acoustic guitar. I'm kind of embarrassed of those performances.
No, that's amazing.
Those performances, but yeah, that's so
you're
cool.
You're gonna be fine then, because like that was that idea to me, just like me and my guitar, or just me and a microphone, was like the most terrifying idea I'd ever had. Like me and a band felt great because I was like, oh, I've got three, four other people with me. This is fine. I can do this all day long.
But, and you can just make fun of Scott, which
yeah,
sure,
which I did
absolutely
a lot, probably on stage, but yeah, like if you've done it solo, you'll be fine. With the band is there's just nothing. I'm completely addicted to it. There's nothing like it. It's amazing.
Oh gosh, yeah. Rehearsing is so incredible to just play with people. It's awesome. It's so cool that you were in a band with your wife. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
And
that's
his ex-girlfriend.
Like my dream. Oh, whoa.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, at the same time, they were both in the band.
They were at one point, for a couple of years.
Was it all cool?
The band that my wife was in, the ex-girlfriend, we had already been broken up when that band started. It was like, so it was later in time. it's a real weird family situation we don't need to get into.
It is. Good times.
But it was fun.
I wish we lived out in L.A. We'd totally go and cheer you on.
We will certainly send our friends.
Away.
We have friends in L.A. We will
we
send
do.
Them to your show.
We're going
to
send friends
Thank
out
you.
To your show. For
yeah.
Please do. Good, good people.
You'll do
good.
Just fine.
You'll do well. Yeah, it'll be great.
So we have a series of stupid, what we like to call lightning round questions. They're just dumb questions that you answer as quickly as possible. Are you prepared? Are you ready?
I guess I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
All right. So here we go.
Okay.
This is, you have to imagine you're getting interrogated by the police.
Okay.
And maybe only for you, if you need to rewind to a previous question to answer it.
Oh, yeah. You
maybe
can rewind.
We'll only let you do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one else has ever been allowed to rewind, but you can rewind. Because that's your power.
That's my power. I use it all the time.
All right, this game's a real life, right? Is that how this works?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's actually her.
Wow.
My mind is blown. Okay, so when you inevitably found money as a child, did you return it?
Yes.
I didn't. I bought Ewok action figures.
I have a really weird complex where when I go into stores, I feel like people think that I'm going to try to steal something, even though I would never do that. But yeah. I just like start acting really anxious and paranoid. Mm. And then they start looking at me like, what's wrong with this girl? So I'm the same way, like with any kind of money that I find, like I'm so paranoid that people will think that I would keep it. That I'm like, no, here it is. I'm going to return it to you. I'm going to prove you wrong. So.
You're a much better person than Ash.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to say.
I bought Ewok toys. So I was pretty terrible. Would you get along with the 16-year-old version of yourself?
No. Yes, 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 yes.
You would?
I don't know. I don't get along with myself now, so I don't. Probably not.
Really?
Sometimes myself and I have a. We have a good time, but most of the time I'm like, "Who is this idiot? Shut up!" So anyway, yeah. Probably not.
All right, next one. What is the first movie you remember seeing in the movie theater?
Titanic.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually remember seeing that movie in the theater.
I know I saw other movies before because I was like in fourth or fifth grade when Titanic came out, but that movie was just like, that movie was everything to me.
You remember crying?
I didn't cry.
You didn't cry?
No, I was just like, I was obsessed. It was, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to be an actress was Titanic and Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
Those are two totally different films.
This is the greatest combination
combination. That's what did it for me. I thought Jim Carrey was so funny in that, and I thought, here's this guy, he's like crazy, acting like a nut, and he's getting to hang out with all of these awesome animals. That's what I want to do for a living. So, yeah.
That is super cool.
All right, so the next one. Have you ever walked out of a movie in the theater? If so, what movie?
No. I mean, I paid money. I'm going to chill in there for as long as I can.
That's true. That's true.
I've certainly like sat through movies that I didn't like, but it wasn't because they were necessarily bad. It was just because when there's a lot of CGI, I get anxiety.
Oh yeah.
I'll start ripping. This is gross, but I don't know why I'm going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. I was like sitting through Pirates of the Caribbean 2 with my little brother, and there was so much CGI. I was getting anxious, so I bit off all my fingernails. And I was like, well, there's nothing left for me to pick at. And so I was like, biting my toenail. There was nobody in the theater.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, my little 4-year-old brother doesn't care. So yeah. Anyway, it's so gross. Sorry. But
No. Now we are officially friends.
Friends forever.
Can you imagine just like seeing some girl freaking out, biting her toe? Like,
you're definitely our people now that you've revealed that. So. That's amazing. All right, so this is arguably, I think, the hardest question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're stranded on a desert island, mm-hmm. and a small box washes up on shore. What is inside that small box?
Music.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. That's a really good answer.
Yeah.
Some people have been like motorboats, inflatable rafts, alcohol. We've gotten all sorts of fun answers, but music is that's a good answer. I like that.
Well, if the box was bigger, I'd want like an instrument in there. But if it's a small box,
a harp.
Just send me a harp. No, it'd be cool if like there's an instrument. But if not, you know, music would be cool or like a notebook to write in.
Maybe like a kazoo, because a kazoo would fit with the music inside the small box.
That'd be cool.
I was gonna say you could turn a cello into like a floating device, like a canoe.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. All right. This one's also pretty challenging. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've been kidnapped. There's an exclamation point. You can call on the characters from one television show to make a rescue attempt. Which show do you pick?
Homeland.
That's good. I
love that show.
We've never asked this question before, so I'm really curious what Matt and Scott have to say too.
Okay.
Do you guys have an answer?
Where did this question come from? Someone on the internet?
Actually saw, someone tweeted this a couple weeks back, and I'm like, that's a great question.
Let's see. Ooh, I'll go S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, S.H.I.E.L.D. is good.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. I'll go with Fringe, because I'll just assume that if I've been kidnapped, there's some kind of weird
sci-fi element.
Yeah, I'm wrapped up in some weird science experiment or something, and I need some really technical help.
I thought about this one a long time.
Yeah.
So I have an unfair advantage. But my answer is the Munsters.
All right, go ahead.
Yes.
Let's explain it.
Because how badass would it be to all of a sudden get rescued by Frankenstein,
our cousin
like,
it?
Teenage Wolfman, like grandpa, like it's like the best rescue team ever. Come on.
I know it's your answer, but that is really the perfect answer for you, I think.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So they come in the car?
The
special car, too?
Yeah, and they have that one attractive, what's the like the cousin? Like the
human
cousin?
What's her name?
It was on the show for no apparent reason. You're just
right, like, well, to be the normal person looking in on the weirdos.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
She was your view into that world.
Oh, yeah. Oh. See, now we're looking at
so, deep. So deep.
If you think about it, Big Bang Theory is just the Munsters.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. and Penny is our way
Penny's,
in.
Yeah, yeah, Penny's our way. Well, I feel like not for maybe us, but Penny is everybody else's way into that world.
I love this show. It's so good.
All right, so here's the last one, and the most important one. The perfect pizza is one topped with blank.
Black olives.
Wow.
I'm an olive fan, too, and that was a fast answer. That was
I'll, any day, black olive pizza all the way.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, I think Hannah,
you were the fastest to get to your answers than I think any other guest we've had on the show, which is quite impressive.
You have a lightning round.
That was, yeah, you answered those quite quickly. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Well, Hannah, thank you so much for coming on the show and hanging out. The door is open, all the time. Anytime you want to come back on, just hang out and talk about whatever. We're here, so just let us know. And
literally, we just sit on Skype together all day.
We do. That's it. Just call us on Skype and be like, hey, let's talk about Pirates of the Caribbean.
We don't even have to record. We'll just hang out.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool. Yeah, this is awesome.
Oh, good. Well, where can people find you on social media and stuff?
At Hannah Tell is like my Instagram name, and I think it's all my I'm so bad at this.
It's okay.
So are we.
My Twitter name, I think, is also Hannah Tell. I don't understand Twitter. So if it's Twitter's hard.
Yeah.
But I get, I love Instagram. I know how to do Instagram. So yeah, at Hannah Tell.
Awesome. And you have any fun stuff coming up that you want to promote other than your awesome show on March 1st?
Oh yeah, the show and the record, it should be out like later this spring, and that's pretty much all I'm doing. So yeah.
No, that's great. That's great. Cool. And hopefully you get down to some conventions and get to meet some of your fans one of these
days. Yeah, I would love to do that. How do you do that?
I'm sure so many conventions would love to have you.
They would absolutely love to have you.
Just gotta know the right people.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh.
Well,
thank you so much. You were incredible, and it was so much fun to have you.
And so are you guys. I'm gonna go like look up your band now. History.
Oh no. Oh dear.
No, yep. I'm gonna be into it. I love music, so I'm sure I'll like it.
It'll be fun because there's some new French like disco band stole our name, and they've been posting stuff. It's really funny because I'll be on Facebook and it'll be like, your band's playing a show in France next month, and I'm like, is it?
Are we?
Fantastic.
That's so cool. We broke up.
Whoa, what's like a band that you guys kind of sound like? It's a hard question, but like something influenced you.
Do you know 90s DC alt rock?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So like Jawbox or Fugazi, like that kind of stuff.
Whoa, yeah. That's like cool.
There you go.
All right.
They'll send you. We'll have them send you a CD, or
sure,
maybe even like 20, because there's a.
Yeah, I'm sure each of us has a box in our closet of unsold albums.
We got a shirt, a sticker. We'll get you the whole prize pack.
History number one fan.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys. I hope you have a good rest of your Saturday.
Yeah, you too. To our chat with Hannah Tell, episode 220 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you guys can find us on the Twitter, and that's at Nerd Appropriate. You can go to our Facebook page, our horribly neglected Facebook page, that's my fault, / Nerd Appropriate on Facebook. You can subscribe to our show by clicking the links in on our social channels. They're everywhere, so subscribe and you'll get your stuff first. We usually put our stuff out a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
on our RSS feed. So, get it early before anybody else.
Get there.
We break news.
Hear that stuff.
If you are in the LA area, mark your calendars for March 1st to go see Hannah Tell play with her band at the Hotel Cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really exciting. Cool. And we'll tweet that out and make sure that everybody goes. We're kind of jealous. We'd love to go, but of course we live on the other side of the country. But
and then check out her Twitter and her Instagram and her YouTube, because her video's up on YouTube and the song's really awesome. And like Scott said, she's got a couple covers and some other stuff. So go check that out.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Have a great
Later.
Week.
See ya.
Okay, cool.
All right. Roll the tape, Scott.
It's actually just digital, but...
Roll the digital recording, Scott.
You got it.